Almost live from a very cool corner of Midtown Sacramento, it's the Nate Darling Show, featuring Mel Gelbart and Larry Mead. Now, from one end of his cheap IKEA couch, here's Nate.
And welcome back to another episode of the Nate Darling Show. What? Tonight, Mel, tonight's been a clusterfuck.
I tell you what.
Let's just be honest about it.
It happens to the best of us.
We had some technical problems. We just finished recording
an
incredible hour-long show with our special guest, Keith Lowell Jensen, a Sacramento comedian. Actually, I'll call him a West Coast comedian. Dude's all over the place.
Who was in fine form tonight.
He was fantastic. We had dirty stories. We had clean stories. He dropped names.
There was a lot of colon talk.
It was a great show.
We got porn website recommendations.
Everything you could possibly want from a podcast. And when I went to hit stop on my computer, the program froze up, crashed, and we lost the whole hour. And there was no getting it back.
And I can only be funny like once a night. Like, I don't even know if I have it in me.
Well, here's the good thing about it, Mel. Keith picked up a lot of the funny for the first show.
Yeah.
So you were able to nap a little bit.
Oh, now you're saying I have to really step up.
Well, Larry had to go because he has to go to the gym and get buff.
Yeah.
So he could not stick around and redo this. So thank you, Mel, for hanging out and...
I am the ultimate team player.
You know what? You are. My God, thank you so much, because I don't want to... And ultimately, it comes down to you care about the audience as much as I do, and not that Larry doesn't. He just had a previous commitment that he had to go to.
But we don't want people to get online tomorrow and be like, hey, where are they?
Exactly. We made a promise that there would be a new show every Wednesday, and there is going to be a new show.
The cutest thing was after we finished the podcast, I checked my phone, and I had a voicemail from my friend Mignon who said... I hope you guys have the best show ever tonight. So it was like she jinxed us without even knowing.
And we did have the best show
ever.
We
totally did.
But the only people that will ever hear it is us.
Yeah.
And I feel bad for Keith, but let me get a couple plugs in for Keith before we move on. Luna's, which is on 16th Street here in Sacramento, every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock, stand up there. It's Keith's room. He's the one who books the room. Really great group of comics that come in through there. People will come in from San Francisco, even people from LA, people who've been on TV. I've seen them at that room. I've performed at that room. It's a great, great little room. And it's $6. And you see incredible amount of comedy. There's food. There's beverages. There's Art, the owner. Art is fantastic. So if you're in the Sacramento area on a Wednesday, go check out Luna's and see what's going on there.
We got to hear how Keith met Dave Chappelle and gave him his CD.
Yeah, yes, he did. He told that he was at SF Sketchfest where Keith performed, and he got to meet Dave Chappelle. He also was at a party with Paul F. Tompkins, which apparently he dropped this bit of knowledge. When you see somebody say tweet or text that they're at a party with somebody famous, that means they're at a party that this famous person is at, and they're in the corner watching them.
Yeah, they're not partying with them per se.
No, there's no party going on.
Just proximity.
All right, so let's get back to the stuff that we're required to do, but the weight loss update. Get that out of the way up in the front of the show.
I feel like I'm gonna showbiz you on everything because I know everything that's coming up.
Mostly, yeah.
We've done this once.
Another goose egg for me this week. I hurt my leg last week, so I actually have an excuse for not getting off my ass more.
But you did do your January goal, basically.
I hit my goal for the first month, which was 5 pounds. 5 pounds every month will get me to the goal for the year, which is 60 pounds in 2012. So that is good news. The other good news is I've started running because my leg is better, and I am now training for the Donut Dash, which is in Sacramento to benefit Sutter Children's Hospital.
Do you really get donuts?
You do. That's part of the deal. I'm
awesome.
Not going to do that.
I have yours?
I'm not. I actually signed up for no donuts.
Oh, man.
But the run, it's a 4 mile out and back run, and you start in Land Park and you run to Marie's Donuts, which is fantastic. And you can sign up to eat 6 donut holes or 4 donuts or nothing, whichever you prefer. And then you run back. So it's the funniest thing when you run the 2 miles and you get there, because I did this last year. you get to the turnaround point, and I just grabbed a bottle of water, which was, it was great to have that on the run back. And there are people there. Some people are just leisurely eating, and some people are really stuffing them in. And then there's the other group, which were people who grabbed the bag of donuts and ran back with them.
Because they want to have it with their coffee when they get home.
They didn't want to eat them while they were running, which I didn't either, but they definitely wanted their donuts.
Cause I can't put off donuts. I love donuts.
Oh, they're fantastic. But there's that. And I decided it went so well that when I finish with the podcast tonight, I am going to sign up for Beta Breakers.
Wow, I love that one.
Beta Breakers.
Are you going to wear a cool costume?
No. No, I am not. I'm going to... My whole costume is going to... I'm going to go as a runner.
Boring.
Well, not for me, because no one would ever guess that that's what I do or what I am.
I had a friend a couple years ago that bought a suit at the thrift store and seeded it with grass seed and then grew it for like a month so that when he went to Beta Breakers, he was wearing a grass suit.
Nice.
Awesome, right?
And some of the pictures I've seen, I wish more people would wear a grass suit, because a lot of people wear nothing.
Yeah.
Because it is actually legal to be naked in public in San Francisco.
Yay.
Not always yay on that.
Yay to freedom. Boo to yucky, fat, gross, wrinkly people.
So, and that is a 12K run. So 8.46 miles. So it's more than double the distance of the donut dash, but it's 2 months later.
I'm one of those people that really uses the joke of unless someone's chasing me kind of thing. Cause I hate running. When I was at the police academy, it was just torture. I hated every step I took. I do not enjoy running.
You know, I never did either until a few years ago when I knew a lot of people who were runners, and I started to ask them, you know, not just why you run, but what's a good way to start running,
mm-hmm.
to sort of get into it. And I talked to a person that I worked with, and she told me the best way to start is to do a run walk, which is you start out and you run, you know, as far as you can until you feel winded or tired. And then you don't stop. You just walk until you catch your breath and get ready. And then you run again a little bit.
I'd never be ready again.
You'd be surprised. But the whole idea is the intervals where you're walking get shorter and shorter, and the intervals where you're running get longer and longer. And I found that once I got to the point a few years ago where when I was actually running a lot, and I've been really lazy lately, I haven't been doing it. I was when I lived in New York State, I would go to the gym and run a 5K on the treadmill like four times a week.
Ugh. Just the thought of it makes me icky.
So I'm never going to be the person who is like, yeah, I'm going to go run an ultra marathon.
I was the dick at the police academy that when we had to run, you had to run in formation, of course, you know, as a group. And I was always the dick that would fall back, and then my team would have to do circles or figure eights till I caught up each time. So they ran twice as much as I did because I couldn't keep up.
Oh, I've never heard of that. See, when I was in high school, we had to run to get in shape to play sports. Like we would have to, for basketball, we ran a lot. Just running to get in shape so that when you're in the game, you're not winded.
Yeah.
And our school's conditioning program was really, really good because when we would play other teams, they would be completely wiped and they would have to, you know, rotate more people in. Their players would get tired. And it's just because our conditioning was that much more intense. We would do one of the things our coaches had us do, when I was a freshman, was we had to go outside and do laps around the soccer field. Except in Vermont, in November, there's normally snow around the soccer field. So we're in our basketball shoes and, you know, some of us in shorts, some of us in sweatpants. And we're running laps around the soccer field in about calf deep snow.
That's horrid. That's how the police academy was for me, because I did it in the middle of winter and we'd run through puddles and ice and slush. It was miserable. I hated it.
Well,
I played sports in high school, same thing. I did it because they made me and I wanted to play the sports, but ugh, I hate it.
Well, someone complained, some parent complained about it, and so they stopped that, which was good, except the substitution became it was a two-story school with a basement. So we would have to run the stairs, which meant we started in the basement. We ran all the way up three flights of stairs to the second floor, down the hall, down the stairs, turn around immediately, go back up the stairs. And we just did that while the girls were practicing. So we did that for like an hour before our practice started.
That's horrible. See, and why would you want to do it now? That I'd have post-traumatic stress disorder from that. I'm morally opposed to running. It's a horrible, horrible thing.
Honestly, and you're somebody who's quite svelte and thin, so it does for you. It doesn't have the same sort of ideal, but there is no better way I've found to get in shape and be leaner than to run.
See, I can only do fun things. Like I exercise a ton, but it's all like fun things or like hiking or going outside, or I do kickboxing classes or, you know, fun classes at the gym, things that distract me and I enjoy. Because if I have to think about the fact that I'm exercising, I get angry.
Right. Well, here's the key to that, Mel. You never let yourself get fat, which I did. I fell into that trap. But the other thing is when I'm out running, I never think of it that way. It's always, for me, it's always the next challenge to go another, especially since I'm now in Midtown, which is kind of cool in terms of being able to run because you can do it block by block and you can sort of set up, okay, I went 5 blocks this time before I had to do a walk. Well, the next day it was, I went 6.5 blocks. And that was the first 2 days I ran. That was Sunday and Monday. And today, the day we're recording the show is a rest day because my legs were very sore.
I reckon.
Not the hamstring that I was worried about. What was sore was my quads because you just do that. And actually on Saturday, I'm really looking forward to this. You're going to think I'm nuts. I'm going to, what's called a good running form seminar. I'm going to this thing on Saturday. And the local running store here is doing it, and it's free, so I'll give them a plug. It's Fleet Feet Sports in Sacramento.
Oh, I bought my shoes there.
They're fantastic if you like want running shoes and stuff like that. Because they're doing free seminars, I'll give them a free plug. And they have someone, when you go in to buy shoes, they watch you walk or run, whatever you do, to make sure you're getting the right shoes for what you need. Well, this is a longer form seminar to make sure that while you're running, you've got proper running form so that you're not expending a lot of extra energy when you're running, that you're not running too tense, that there's not something wrong with your gait that can be fixed. And my biggest fear is that I'm going to do this on Saturday morning and they're going to look at me and go, "You are doing everything perfectly." That's both my biggest fear and greatest hope, that I'm doing everything perfectly, so I'm not hurting myself, but Jesus Christ, I'm doing everything perfectly and I'm it's still this hard.
Yeah.
So we'll
people get obsessed though, like running. I have a friend that does like competitive open water swimming.
Right.
And she called me the other day. I'm driving home from a seminar on how to swim in open water better. And I'm like, wow, people have weird hobbies.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of the thing. But
of course, people make fun of me because I'm like, I'm in a bocce league. And they're like, what, what the hell is that? Though that's not really exercise. That's just fun.
So that's what's going on. I'll talk about the running seminar next week. Larry will be in for a thrill. Later on in the show, after we finish this, I'm going to wrap up and I'm going to play a few tracks from Keith Lowell Jensen's new CD, Cats Made of Rabbits, because honestly, you missed out on a great show.
It's all Nate's fault, folks.
It's all my computer's fault for crashing out on the program.
Well, they should make up for it by going to see Keith live and or buying one or all of his CDs.
Yeah, and as I kissed up to him before when he was on, so I'm going to do it again. It was if you find him on YouTube, he's got some stand-up clips on YouTube, and he used to do something pretty regularly called the Atheist Church, which is both informative and amusing. So check him out there, and his website is rockass.net to find out where you can see Keith. So this past weekend, I went to the mall in Roseville for the first time since the fire, actually.
You rubbed shoulders with the yuppies. Good for you.
I didn't really rub shoulders with anybody because it wasn't really that crowded when I was there. But here's what I know in terms of business people. Because I went into several stores, and while I was greeted at most every store I walked into with a hello from someone who worked there, at no point did anybody come up to me, no matter how puzzled I looked. Nobody came up to me in any of these stores and said, "Can I help you find something?"
I hate that.
And, you know, while I don't want to be badgered at a store, if you come up to me and go, is there something I can help you with? Then at least I know, A, you work there, because most of the people who work there look completely disinterested. And I know you work at the mall and it sucks, but come on, people. But yeah, I would have bought a pair of shoes at Finish Line store. I would have bought it because they had some stuff on sale.
But they didn't want to talk to you?
I would have at least tried a couple of pairs on because they had some Reebok Zigs, the Re-Zig shoes, and I would have tried them on, but nope, nobody was interested in coming over. So that was pretty much the story there. But
I had one of those in an electronics store once, and I stood there in front of the wall of things knowing I needed one of these gadgets, but I didn't know which one was the one that would fit my need.
Right.
And people walked by, and I finally was like, fuck this, and I walked out. I'm not buying something here just for spite.
And you know, I think that happens way more often than people know. And no, I don't want to be badgered with the constant, hey, can I help you? Hey, can I help you? I don't want it to be Best Buy-like, because they're a little bit over the top with it. But when you greet me and you say hello, you could go, is there something you're looking for today?
Exactly.
And if I say, no, I'm just looking, then just follow that up with a, well, if you need any help, I'll be around. Then at least I know, hey, you work there. But usually what happens is the person who says hello wanders off to a corner of the store and talks to another employee, thus taking them out of the game too. So commerce is alive and well in Roseville, California.
So why were you at the mall in the first place?
Well, I hadn't been there before. Like I said, I haven't been there since the fire. And I went up to the Roseville-Rockland area because I needed to get a cabin air filter for my car.
Ah.
And the AutoZone up there had one in stock. Now, apparently, if you go to a AutoZone store and tell them you want one, they'll get one from the thing, whatever. And I just wanted to get out of the house. It was Sunday. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go do this, and I'm going to go do this. I just wanted to get out and get out to the burbs. So I go there, and I get that thing, and which, by the way, funny story. When the Honda dealership said I needed a new cabin air filter, which is part of like the 25,000-mile checkup, which is pretty expensive, and they're like, I'm like, why is it so expensive? And the answer was, well, you have to replace the cabin air filter, and you know they gotta tear apart the dash to get at that. And I had the same thing that happened to me when I went to the place where I get my oil changed. I'm not going to mention them because they're pretty cool, and their price was a lot less than the dealership, as you would expect, but it was still ridiculous because we're talking about a filter that costs $12.99. And I was looking online for just a regular air filter, and I happened to see this search result for cabin air filter pop up. I'm like, oh, let me see what this is. And it's a how-to video on how to install it. It was a minute and a half long.
So it was a super complicated job then, is what you're saying.
Tearing apart the dash involves opening your glove compartment. You have to take the stuff out. And then you push in on the sides, which are plastic, at least in my car. And then it just flops down. And then right in front of you is a plastic tray that you pull out. You take the old filter out, take the new filter out of the plastic bag, put it in, and then you slide it in at an angle and pop it back in.
That'll be $500, please.
It was like $250, I swear to you. And it took me longer to empty and refill my glove box than it did to actually change the filter. And to be fair, on some other cars, there is a lot of stuff going on. My buddy was telling me about his older Honda Accord, which is a pain in the ass to get into. But apparently what they do is they just charge this blanket charge for the service. And whether it takes them 5 minutes to do it or whether it takes them a half an hour to do it, you still go through that. So
typical.
So that's why I was up there, and I wanted to check out the mall and see what was going on. But
Nate's day in the burbs.
I know, it was pretty exciting. It's better than the people from Ireland, England, who decided they wanted to come here on holiday, as they
call
it.
Yeah, that didn't go so well.
It did not. They were joking on Twitter, and it ended up getting them deported. Apparently. This 26-year-old Lee Van Bryan told the Sun and Daily Mail in England that he tried in vain to convince the Department of Homeland Security and Customs and Border Patrol agents that he was not a terrorist. Likely story, Irishman. He said he told agents...
Englishman.
No. He's Irish.
Read the headline again.
Two British tourists. And then it says, one Irishman's Twitter humor was no joke to U.S. Homeland Security.
I know, it's very confusing.
They all speak with a funny accent. Does it matter?
No, not okay. To the story. Not really.
So he said he told agents that destroy was British slang for getting drunk and that digging up Marilyn Monroe was just a quote from Family Guy. Here are the two tweets that got them detained and then deported, without getting to really see Los Angeles.
Ridiculous.
The first one, 3 weeks today, we're totally in L.A., pissing people off on Hollywood Boulevard and digging Marilyn Monroe up. And the second tweet, free this week for quick gossip slash prep before I go and destroy America.
Why don't they just check to see if they'd really dug her up? Then they would have known that it was just a joke.
Well,
Homeland Security. I mean, another reason to make America look like retards.
Because they hadn't actually... They were preventing them from going and digging up Marilyn Monroe.
Oh, according to his tweet, they were in the act of. So somebody should have gone and checked first. What a bunch of dummies.
Well, Twitter, it's very limited in number of characters. But anyway, after passing through passport control at LAX, he and his 24-year-old travel mate were detained by armed guards, questioned for 5 hours, handcuffed and locked up overnight with illegal immigrants, and then put on a plane back to Britain.
Talk about overreaction and making us look like idiots.
So,
yay, America.
Keeping us safe from British people who like to drink.
Good Lord.
It's okay. I think that's a good thing, though.
Stupid.
They're really only going to cause trouble anyway.
Yeah, those Brits.
Look, they overran the world at one point. You have to stop them.
They're gonna torture us with their bland food and bad tea.
I can't really crap on British people right now because our friend Rob Nicholson helped me out with a project for work.
He is an exceptional British person.
He is, and he's that way because he wants to stay here in this country with his wife and young child.
Yeah. I say it only because I had the last boyfriend that I dated was a British douche nozzle. So I've made blanket statements now based on his horrible behavior.
Well, that's fair.
Yeah.
And you brought up douche nozzles. Newt Gingrich.
Douche nozzles. Speaking of douche nozzles.
He's being sued by the company which owns the right to the 1982 song Eye of the Tiger, claiming that Newt had no right to use it as part of his campaign. This isn't the first time stuff like this has happened in politics. Bruce Springsteen was pissed at Ronald Reagan in the 80s because Reagan co-opted his song Born in the USA, which is really about being downtrodden and struggling to make it, and turned it into this happy campaign song.
Like, look at me, I'm super American. And Jackson Brown, too, right?
Jackson Brown was with that sort of thing. I believe the rub with those was they were paying the rights fees to use them. And if you pay the rights fees to use them, there's really not necessarily a lot you can do to stop people from using them as long as they're paying to.
Right. Even if you don't like what they're using them for.
Yeah. For instance, the Pretenders are a very progressive band. Chrissy Hynde, very liberal. And their song Back to Ohio is what Rush Limbaugh uses to bump in and out of break. And I remember hearing a conversation, because occasionally I'll pop in to listen, because if you're going to talk about somebody who's ridiculous, you should probably know what you're talking about. And I happened to pop in one day, and he was talking about Chrissy Hynde and you know, why he does it. And it's, oh, get under their skin or whatever. And I read an interview with her, and she's like, I don't care. I get paid every time he plays that.
Yep.
So
joke's on you, dummy.
Pretty much. I mean, either way, he doesn't get the rise out of her. It's just a good song. But anyway, Rude Music Incorporated, which is owned by a member of the band Survivor, filed suit in federal court in Illinois claiming Newt had jacked the song that's famous from the movie Rocky III to push his political agenda. According to the lawsuit, Newt had been using the song at various political events since 2009. A little late for that. You wait until he won South Carolina?
I think they were waiting so they could really have their evidence gathered.
Well, here's the evidence. Here's what it sounds like for anybody who wants to
it's
hear.
It's such an old song, too.
Fellow conservatives, please give a warm welcome to my friend and the 58th Speaker of the House of Representatives, Newt and Calista Gingrich.
And it's just the wrong song for him. I mean, it makes him seem like, you know, I don't know, cool and tough and a fighter, and he's a douche.
I'm pretty sure Sylvester Stallone would be raising an eyebrow if any muscles in his face still worked.
You know, when Fatty comes waddling into that song, it just ruins the whole, you know, ruins it.
I know. It's a good thing James Brown is dead, too.
Because
he would be appalled by that. Oh, wait, James Brown did the song for Rocky IV. Sorry.
Yeah.
He'd still be appalled. By every respect,
he did that "Come Into America" song, right?
Yes, "Living in America."
Living in America.
He did "Living in America," but he would be very upset by that. In New Hampshire, not small town news, but could have been. I withheld because we had better small town news. Police are looking for a man who reportedly forced his way into a home at gunpoint shortly after 3 p.m. before being scared off by the family cat. Now, the police say the burglar knocked on the door and forced his way inside the home at approximately 3:15. The woman who lives there was home alone with an infant at the time, and her husband was at work. Now, the burglar took an unspecified amount of items from the home but fled after apparently being scared off by the family's cat, which had begun scratching at the door.
You know, it's so funny because we talked, this is one of the few things we talked about earlier.
Right.
And it's so hard to be like, I already said this, but wait, nobody's heard me say this, so I can just say what I said earlier.
Absolutely.
Which are, the things about this story that amuse me are the headline is, you know, about this attack cat chasing this guy out of the house, except the guy never saw the cat, never knew it was a cat. And he just heard somebody at the door, you know, scratching or coming in, and he ran off after he took a bunch of stuff. So it wasn't like he was thwarted by the panther cat. It could have been anything.
Well, he might have.
It could have been the water heater kicking in or something that scared him off. I mean, it wasn't like this cat frightened him off like this big brave cat. It's a bit of a spin in the frickin' title.
It does say that the family cat may have frightened off a hairy gunman in New Hampshire.
I love also that he's a hairy gunman.
Well, he is.
What else did they say?
He is being described as a male in his 50s. This is just reconfirming what I already knew from watching Dragnet and Adam 12, that most criminals are middle-aged white guys. He has lots of dark facial hair that included a beard and what appeared to be a unibrow, wearing a black zip-up sweater with a hood, a knit hat, and jeans.
What did Larry say? It was the Unabomber?
Yeah, well, the unibrow bomber.
The unibrow bomber.
So this is very, very serious. They're looking for him. Apparently, they had a canine in from Rochester police who was not able to track the suspect.
Couldn't find him.
Not with a cat, not with a dog.
Though I like the one I got all indignant earlier about that. You were like, if it said that a man, what did you say? If the headline was just what?
Yeah, you were like, well, they embellished the headline. I said, look, if the headline was just a robber leaves house, yeah. I wouldn't be talking about this on the show. So, well done, writer. That's why it's not small town news, because there's actually something on there that made me click on it. I didn't have to really go hunting deeply for that.
That's funny.
Oh.
It gives you a good idea of this with the spin that gets put on stuff by the media.
Well, sometimes. And sometimes
attack cat scares off Predator. They had a pet lion.
Well, it does say may. There was a qualifier. There was a may have. So, you know, it wasn't a definite thing. It was a may have done
it
that.
A definite thing.
Sure. It didn't say the cat did scare him off. It may have.
They should have put like, or he may have had a small stroke and decided to go to the hospital right then. We don't know. He's well, still at large.
Well, there's a hairy intruder that got away. So be on the lookout for one out of every three guys in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
Because that description will fit most of them.
Who doesn't get his eyebrows threaded?
Again, that will fit most guys in New Hampshire. Have you been to New Hampshire?
Never.
Oh, it's not that exciting. You know, one place that is exciting though is Seattle, where lots of strange things happen. Let me.
They're very
off.
Progressive.
They are sometimes to a fault, though.
It's so funny because you know from where I'm sitting, I can see you working on your computer, but I can't see a lot because my eyesight's so bad. But all I see is what is either a man or a woman with what looks like hideous moles all over their face from where I'm sitting.
It is, in fact, a gentleman who needs a shave, and those are glitter hearts that are pasted on his face. And it's because he is at a wedding.
Three, four, sometimes in our lives, we all have pain.
It's a clown wedding.
Stop the city council murderous policy of giveaways of public money to real estate.
The bride developers. Has the big circles of red on her cheeks like a clown.
Well, here's what it is. It's a beaming bride, a crumbling warehouse, and a love that will never die. That's right. A woman has married a warehouse in Seattle.
Oh, my God. I saw a special on these people once on the Learning Channel.
Well, it's she in the warehouse entered into a self-described gay marriage surrounded by friends, singing of love and united against the displacement in their neighborhood by means of new development. They're against gentrification.
Who
basically.
Decided the building was a girl?
One of these crazy people did, apparently. Their logic is that if corporations are people, then buildings are people. And this building was obviously a woman.
The building did not give consent, I'm pretty pretty sure. I think this is basically like a rape wedding. You know, and the thing that really irks me, which is totally irrelevant to this, is that as a woman who, you know, imagines her wedding day, it's a bunch of circus freaks and a lady with horrible makeup and her bra strap showing. And I'm just offended that anybody would do that to a wedding. And the building has an I do on it, so that they're really, it's a rape wedding. The building gets no say.
There's a fence up around it to protect it from such
her.
Things. And it's raining. It's a bunch of hippies in the rain is what it is.
I mean, I'm all for not tearing down the cool old buildings, but they're a bunch of weird folk.
So there were the story came
should,
out.
The least she could do on her wedding is get her makeup done properly.
Well, do you know where she and the building met? I know it sounds like a strange question, but
a street corner
in December, she said that she and 16 Occupy Seattle activists linked arms and occupied the warehouse to fight against the gentrification.
And she felt a tingle. Community.
Yeah, she was transformed by the event, or so she says. And
I saw one about a lady that married a bridge too. Not kidding. It was on the show.
That's a tough one to consummate.
She was all rubbing on it. She was in love.
Well, you know, why wouldn't she be?
Well, I mean, there was something to be said for some hard steel.
All right, we didn't get to this in the see, this is the bonus part because Keith talked so much and talked about funny stuff. We never got to our original segment on the show.
That's true. We didn't have time.
Four.
Cool.
Hey.
Chill.
Whoa. All right. First off, Cooler Tool Mel, Survivor, the band, suing Newt Gingrich.
Cool. Get yours.
Yeah. If Newt's not paying for using your music. And,
then fuck him.
Yeah. It's not cool at all. Although, you know,
the fact that I hate him has nothing to do with my decision.
Here's the only thing that I would say about that. They know he's been doing it for 3 years. You might have said something before he won the South Carolina primary. I'm just saying. Up next in Cooler Tool, the Family Guard cat.
So stupid. Tool.
No.
It's not a guard cat.
It is a guard
cat. It's just
cat.
A cat.
It is a guard cat.
It's a cat that scratched on a door and might or might not have scared a guy off that might or might not have had a stroke instead. We don't know.
I'm going to go with cool.
Stupid.
It's absolutely cool. And finally, in Cooler Tool, the woman who wants to marry a building.
Mentally ill. Can I choose mentally ill for 500, Alex?
Well, is it mentally ill cool or mentally ill tool?
I'm going to go with Tool. I love the idea of trying to save the building. I am on board with that and landmarks and such, but I think marrying a building is just, it's out of my comfort zone. It's too weird, so I'm going with Tool.
Yeah.
And again, she looked ridiculous.
It's a crap warehouse. And here's the funny thing. Now, it was in sickness and in health because the wedding went ahead despite the fact that they started the demolition of the building on Friday, which was early. So they started with the demolition early to try and thwart this because news of the plans leaked out. And she still went through with it, even though the building is less of a building than it was before.
Do you know what my favorite part of that was? It says she went and they started doing the demo. And so she was climbing on the equipment and trying to get in the way of them and stop them. But minutes later, she left, telling news photographers that she was expected to work and had to go. So, she's not that committed to this union, clearly.
Well,
I love you, baby, but I gotta go. I mean, they might destroy you, but if not, I'll totally be back later and we'll get married. It'll be great. Then we can go on our honeymoon. Well, we can't go, but we'll have it right here because you're a building and you can't go anywhere.
Yeah, it's...
We can have a picnic here on the street.
Well, speaking as someone who's been married to two different women, women sometimes are fickle with their commitment. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Everybody is fickle with their commitment.
Not going to name any names or anything like that or cast aspersions. Just saying, sometimes that happens. You know, you say you're going to be there forever, and then you leave the building to just stand there against the bulldozers.
But it's not just women.
Bulldozers of my
heart.
Can't
say women are the only ones that do that.
I didn't say they were the only ones.
We all do it.
I said they are often the ones.
We've been trained to be horrible commitment people.
Well, I mean, the stories about Demi Moore and everything that she's been going through after finding out, shockingly enough, that Ashton Kutcher was cheating on her.
What?
The stories of how emotionally devastated she was by that are really just heartbreaking. I mean, and you can look at it and go, oh, well, she's a rich celebrity, but she's still a person. And
that's how I felt for Sandra Bullock, too. I felt so bad. It seemed like that he was actually going to change. And I don't know. I got fooled by Jesse James.
You did. And
idiot.
Well.
Seal and Heidi Klum.
Well.
Breaks my heart.
That doesn't break my heart. Because they can both go back to wherever they came from. I'm fine with them both going away.
Oh, but they seem so happy, and they've got all their kids.
Well, they seem happy, except apparently he has anger control issues.
Yeah, I guess they weren't as happy as they seemed.
Everybody's happy until Seal's not happy anymore.
An angry Seal is a bad Seal.
Because Seal, and I've seen Seal in person at the Grove in L.A. Seal is one big dude. He's like 6'5".
He hulks out when he's mad, too.
He's got that scary Batman mask of facial deformity that he's got going there. It's great. Frightened me.
Hmm.
I wanted to sort of go back a little bit to let people know, if you're thinking of criminal activity of any kind, a hammer is really a poor choice of weapon.
Right. We had that a couple weeks ago, didn't we?
We did, and we have from a couple weeks ago.
The guy lost. The guy with the sledgehammer or hammer or whatever, he lost.
Yes.
He got dead.
He was shot to death. This was in Memphis. He was armed with a sledgehammer. He was shot to death by a second man that he allegedly threatened. So that one didn't work out well. But you know what? People never learn. Coming from just south of here in Galt, California, beautiful Galt. Home of the Galt Strawberry Festival. Don't go. It's not worth it. Sacramento Sheriff's deputies fired several shots at a man attempting to burglarize an It's a Grind coffee house just after 2 a.m. They arrived. The door was broken in. There was a Chrysler sitting in front of the business, and they found the suspect holding what they believed to be a weapon. When they asked him to show his hands, he refused to do so, and That didn't work out well for him.
That's what happens.
And it was later determined that he was holding some type of hammer. So, again, criminals, two rules here. First of all, don't do it. Second of all, a hammer makes a terrible, terrible weapon. And third, here's your bonus thing. Listen to cops, because they have guns and they'll shoot you.
Exactly.
If you don't. If you're lucky, they'll only pepper spray you and tase you, kids.
Yeah.
But they'll shoot you, especially if they feel like you've got a weapon.
Compliance is a good plan when it comes to people with guns.
Yeah, sort out the hey man, you came out a little too strong later on. You can you can sue the cops later if you really need to.
Shot in the face.
Right. If they shoot you because you didn't comply, then you pretty much lose your opportunity to sue them later. So that's my other tip for you.
Exactly.
I don't want people suing the cops, but I'm just saying.
I used to always hate the people that wanted to argue about it. Like, let's get you arrested and down to the jailhouse, and then if we want to discuss that we can, but right now, for my safety and yours, let's just get business done.
Listen, I don't know why you're bothering me. Just leave me alone.
Put your hands behind your back, sir.
Listen, I'm not going anywhere with
Bam,
you.
Bam, stop resisting. Bam, stop resisting.
Yeah, right. Stop hitting yourself. Really, that's what it is. It's a stop hitting yourself for cops.
They train you in the academy to say that over and over again. So if any witnesses are there, they'll say is, all I heard was a cop screaming, stop resisting, stop resisting. It's a good cover story.
Yeah, they did that with that Louima guy in New York when they were raping him with a plunger, too.
Yeah, stop resisting.
Stop resisting as they're anally raping him with a plunger.
And hold still and stop resisting.
I don't know that you could hold still with that going on. I really don't. Wow, that went in a dark place.
What?
We went to a dark place with Keith, too.
Yeah.
And by the way, if you missed it, Keith Lowell Jensen was on the show and the recording didn't take. So
it's a sad day for us.
It is, but we're doing a show for you anyway because we love you. And we'll have a little Keith Lowell Jensen at the end of the show so you can hear some of his stand-up from his new album, Cats Made of Rabbits. And
there's boobies on the front.
I know. And Dave Chappelle told him, them rabbits got boobies or titties.
Titties.
Them rabbits got titties. speaking of titties,
dating
sites, everybody's getting in on the dating sites. There's, of course, Match and eHarmony and all those. But one that's been around a lot lately and it's starting to gain steam because I've seen it in a lot of places and ads on TV, ChristianMingle.com. And their trademarked line is, find God's match for you.
Because God cares who you date.
Well, yeah, because God's working in mysterious ways through an internet site that charges you every month.
It's awesome.
So, yes.
The baby Jesus wants you to be happy.
And, well, I'm going to make fun of it. I'm going to get back to something else. But to delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart.
You know, if it wasn't so creepy religious, I mean, I used to use J-Date, which is like Jewish online dating, but there was nothing religious about it. It was just for other similar religion people to meet.
Well, and to be fair, the differentiation point is not all Jews or Jewish people are religious because it's also
cultural.
It's also a cultural thing. If you identify as Christian, you're religious. I don't know anybody who identifies as Christian who isn't at least somewhat religious. And so I just found that interesting. And the places the thing would pop up, like I was at a friend's house and we were watching Project Runway, and all of a sudden, like every break during Project Runway, which is the gayest show on TV. There's ChristianMingle.com, and I'm like, really? Is God's really you're going to find God's match for, although I suppose a bunch of lonely spinsters who are sitting around watching Project Runway would do it, but that was the
yeah the
fun,
religious girls
thing.
That don't have dates.
That's unfortunate too. Yeah, well, that's kind of a ghost. Oh, I wanted to have an update. We'll do this update, and then we'll do small town news, and then we'll play some Keith Ole Jensen for everybody, so you can get out of here, Mel. Just while everybody know, Mel hung around to re-record the podcast after we had the technical difficulty because we love you.
That's true. And each and every one of you. So you better download us and listen to us and tell at least three friends.
Yeah, tell your friends, hey, these guys are so cool that even when they had a horrible computer crash, they stayed around and recorded another show.
And we're not saying this is funnier, because I don't know if we are. I think maybe, you know, you're getting sloppy seconds, but, you know, at least you're getting something.
Yeah, exactly. You know, sloppy seconds are better than nothing.
That's right.
And that's what you would have
meant. At least you're getting some.
Uphill both ways. Update. We talked about Merkins and the new Real Housewives of New York star. She was making pubic wigs.
Right, right.
And selling them at her New York City waxing salon. One was made of feathers and one was made of fox fur.
Yeah, you could get it in pink.
Well, they have now scrapped the plans to use real fox fur.
Somebody put paint on somebody's hoo-hoo, didn't they?
Yeah, shockingly that would cause some sort of an uproar. They're going to instead go for faux fur instead of fox fur. So now you can go ahead and adorn your pubic region with pink fake fur and not have to worry about anyone from PETA.
I wonder what PETA's slogan was, you know? Don't put animal fur on your vajayjay.
I think it would be grow your own fur.
Grow your own.
Grow your own.
I love that.
I think that would be their whole
slogan. I like it. Grow your own.
Grow your own. I mean, if you can. I mean, I understand because I know there are some women who have actually gotten the laser hair removal, so they can't grow their own anymore.
Yeah.
And I don't know why you would suddenly want a Merkin, though. I don't get it.
It's trendy and cute. You know, the thing they think it is. I think it's weird. You know, but, like, do you have to kill the fox? Why couldn't you just give it a little haircut? You don't need that much to cover a hoo-hoo.
Well, I think it's because you need the actual skin that the fur is attached to.
Oh. I would just glue, like, some chinchilla fuzz to my hoo-hoo, and that would be because it's soft and fuzzy.
Well, if you're going to do that, then why don't you just go to your local salon and pick some up there? I mean, that's not... You just described the Beavis and Butthead way of growing a bit. They actually did an episode where they decided to grow beards, but they couldn't, so they trimmed their hair and glued it onto their face.
Yeah, that's what I would do. I'm going to go home, I'm going to trim the dog, and I'm going to glue his hair to my vagina, and then I'll have a really red Merkin.
Is that a euphemism? I'm going to go trim the dog? That's a fantastic one.
Some people have kitties. Not me. I got a big old dog at home.
Oh, Mel, thanks for hanging around. We're
my pleasure.
We're going to wrap it up. We got small town news for you. So we got all our segments in, which, you know,
I have a feeling this small town news is going to be as amazing as it was the first time around.
Well, how can you go wrong with the headline, Dog in the Driver's Seat in Derby?
It's big fucking news, man.
It is. Bo, who's an 11-month-old bull mastiff, awaits Master Mick Conley of Derby outside the bank on Route 5 in Derby on Saturday. It was in Derby, by the way. Conley said he's confident his car is well protected. Quote, he's just a pup and he doesn't realize how big he is. And it's a picture of this bull mastiff dog sitting in the front seat of a car, just sort of looking out the side window with a sad look on his face.
And in Derby, that's the news.
That is the news. That's the small town news.
He is adorable. The dog is adorable for the record, but that's what somebody put in a newspaper. Holy crapoli.
So that is small town news. Oh, also, since Larry's not here, I played this at the end of the first show, but I will play it all for you again. And this is my message for Larry.
It can't be gay, Larry. I could be a lesbian for you, but that's about it.
Yeah, see, so I don't hate Adam Sandler. I hate the Adam Sandler.
You have to do the one for when you're being mean to me.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
When you're mean to me and I get all aggravated and punch you, but nobody can see.
Okay, Mel, go ahead and say I hate you guys.
I hate you guys so much.
What have I done to deserve this?
Which is totally what I'm usually thinking in my head.
I know, I found that. I was doing some searching for stuff and I found that. And I'm like, that is awesome.
Because you guys are always giving me the business.
Well, we do, but we do it with love. That's how we roll.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to thank Keith Lowell Jensen for joining us in the show that you'll never hear.
Rockass.net.
Rockass.net. Check him out on Facebook. He's got a fan page. You can follow him on Twitter. You can search for him on YouTube. He's everywhere, and he's very, very funny. So check that out. Check out Luna's if you're in Sacramento on Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock. It's $6. Great comics. And he's opening for Neil Hamburger in Sacramento at the Sacramento Comedy Spot coming up, I think, in March, he said. But all of his dates are on rockass.net. Next time, I will talk about the improv show that I was in.
Oh, that's right.
Last week. It went really, really well, so we'll talk about that. We'll talk about everything that went horribly wrong again this week. We'll find out how Larry did at the gym, because it was important for him to go, and I'm behind fitness, of course.
I went before I came, so I'd be all good when I got here.
Yeah, and I'm going to hit the road and run tomorrow morning if it's not raining. So there we go. We're all getting our fitness goals in. Thanks again to Huge Entertainment for giving us loaning us the equipment to do the podcast. Thanks to everybody for listening. Please tell your friends, tell your neighbors that you heard it on The Nate Darling Show at natedarlingshow.com. I'm going to leave you with a couple of tracks off of Keith Lowell Jensen's CD, Cats Made of Rabbits.
See you next week.
I'll have to try to find pussies on trees or in other random places. Now I'm married. Which means I found some pussy I like so much, I got a lifetime subscription. So this is it for me. This is the pussy I want to be with forever. And I'm faithful. I am 100% faithful to my wife when I am awake. But what I do in dreams is my own goddamn business. And yet, for the last, year and a half, whenever I'm having a dream and I'm about to get down with some beautiful woman or, a really hot cypress tree, I pull out my cell phone and I call my wife to get permission. In a dream! And she never answers. And I wake up frustrated and angry. And I look over and there she is. Her head's on the pillow. She's so sweet. Pissed at her. Because I feel like shaking her and saying, if I have the opportunity to have sex with Marilyn Monroe's identical twin granddaughter who's part unicorn, the least you can do is answer the goddamn phone! I'm tired of having dry dreams. no explanation for this. And now I became obsessed with this. I became obsessed with animal penis. And I'm going on and on about this, and my poor long-suffering wife is having to hear all this. And she's a feminist. And every time I say dicks, she has to add in, and vaginas. And vaginas, don't forget vaginas. I won't. But in this case, you're wrong. Vaginas, while they may be fascinating to me personally, from a biological perspective, boring! There's a curly Q penis. There is no corresponding curly Q vagina. Thank goodness, or farming would be weird. Merv, the pigs are stuck again. God damn it! I always forget if it's righty-tighty or lefty-loosey. I get pissed, but the pig likes it. It's awful. Now, any of you that know me know that my wife doesn't lose. So she gets on the old internet, and then she hits me with the amazing world of duck vagina. Yeah! Those cute little things swimming in the lake, they have crazy, crazy vaginas. They have hallways that go off in different directions. They have trap doors. They have doors that open with nothing behind them. It's wild. And it's like, okay, Mr. Evolutionary Biologist, explain that. Why does this duck have this fucked up vagina? Well, it seems that ducks are notorious rapists. As anyone who's ever accidentally scheduled a romantic date at the park during duck rape season knows. Almost as bad as the time that for date night I went and rented Last Tango in Paris. I don't eat butter anymore either. Guess that's a joke for you, film buffs. So ducks are notorious rapists. And over the ages, rape interferes with kin selection, which is a really important engine for evolution. So to deal with not being able to choose who impregnates them, the ducks evolve this crazy frickin' vagina. And if rapist duck comes along, his sperm gets the fun house. Wasn't there, there's wild mirrors, there's a Ferris wheel. Huey Lewis and the News were even booked there once. It was crazy. But when her betrothed comes along, she shuts all those extra doors and his sperm gets the express route. Doesn't even have to stop and pay the toll. Did someone go, oh, someone did it. That's the first time I've ever heard that response for that, like, oh. She lets the nice guy's sperm go through. The sweetest thing I've ever heard. I'm just blown away by this duck vagina. But then the question comes again. How does a creationist possibly explain why God made the Winchester Mystery House of vaginas? It's not one you can win.